So I think all are get it. So I will continue reading. Day 7, we are on page number 217. Kyabje Pabongka Rinpoche began quoting the great Bodhisattva Shantideva. You can free yourself from the great river of suffering by relying on the boat of human rebel. Such a boat will be hard to yet get again, all blind from this time to not fall asleep. You have gained the perfect rebirth, a human one, a bird that is like a boat of freedom from the great ocean of samsara. The sort of happiness that lasts only until your death is nothing to get attached to. And if you do not achieve the one eternal hope for all your future rebirths, it will be difficult for you to find such a physical rebirth again. Another boat to free you from this great ocean of suffering. So you must fulfill your eternal hope now. So this is according to Sajja tradition. I have also taken the transmission from Chöpchöp Rinpoche about the path and result. And there is a tradition of saying the prayer three times. So this is the tradition and the practice according to Sajja tradition. So repeating three times. The fourth major heading, the sequence in which disciples are to be taught the actual instructions, have two subheadings. The root of the path, devotion to a spiritual guide, and the proper graduated training you should undertake after you have begun to rely on him. I will now discuss how to devote yourself to a spiritual guide. I could not cover the material of the preparatory rite four times over, but one must do this four times when reaching the main part of the Lamrim discourse, starting from the section on devotion to one's spiritual guide. This includes a summary. From now on, you should follow this tradition. Page number 218. You can see for yourselves that carpenters and sculptors, for example, who can learn by watching, must first study with the teacher. So there is no need to tell you that you must rely on a spiritual guide in order to know properly the path that will fulfill your eternal hopes by taking you to the same level as the Buddhas. Some people think they can know the path by reading books and not have a guru, but this is not good enough. You must rely on a qualified guru. Suppose you were going to India, for example, you will definitely need to find a guide, and not just anyone would do. You must depend on someone who has been there before. Similarly, a spiritual guide must be a person capable of taking you on the path to Buddhahood. If you depend on anyone at all, on bad company and the like, you will not be led on the right path and may go astray. Thus, it is vital to depend on a spiritual guide at the outset. Next heading is the advantages of relying on a spiritual guide. And next, you will come closer to Buddhahood. We are now on page number 219. One general benefit of relying on a spiritual guide is that you will get nearer to Buddhahood. Although the other paths and their stages require many countless eons to achieve Buddhahood, some people can be led to this state in only one lifetime, because they have devoted themselves to a spiritual guide. The highest tantras too achieve this extremely quickly, and Guru Yoga is the main lifeblood of the tantric path. Sorry, there is some disturbance with the sound. We will fix it in a minute. Sorry for the disturbance. Page number 220. Even in the sutric tradition, one travels the path quickly if one's guru devotion is exceptional. If we were to meet a Buddha, say, we would think, I have met a Buddha higher than my guru. This may be well and good, but Sata Parura Ditta saw countless Buddhas and was not satisfied. Instead, he searched for a guru. This is a vital point, for no one can benefit us as much as a guru with whom we have had a karmic relationship or all our rebirths. Sata Parura Ditta might have been satisfied at the time of meeting his teacher with offering a wish-granting jewel given he had received from Indra. However, he cut the flesh from his own body and bled himself in order to honor and revere his guru, Dharmadgata. This was to give the greatest force to his building of the two types of accumulation. Sata Parura Ditta had already achieved the single-pointed concentration called continuous dharma. When he had these visions of many Buddhas, he was in fact on the great level of the Mahayana path of accumulation. Then he met Dharmagata, who taught him Dharma. Sata Parura Ditta mastered the 8 Bodhisattva level and developed the patience in ungenerated Dharma level. He achieved this so rapidly because of his matchless devotion to his spiritual guide. They say that other Bodhisattvas have to spend one interminable great eon building up their accumulations, while on the first 7 impure levels of the 10 Bodhisattva levels. Page number 221. Nagarjuna said, if a person fell from the peak of the king of mountains, he would still fall, even though he thought, I shall not fall. If you receive beneficial teachings through the Guru's kindness, you will still be liberated, though you think, I shall not be liberated. That is, if you fell from the top of a high mountain, you could not stop even if you felt, I can go back. Similarly, if your guru devotion is sound, it will lead to your liberation from samsara, even though you might feel, I will not be liberated. But you cannot travel even the least of the stages and paths if you do not rely on a guru. You must accumulate an immeasurable collection of primal wisdom and merit in order to reach Buddhahood. But this huge collection is easily acquired. The best way is to make offerings to the Guru. As it is said, offering to a single pore of the Guru is superior in merit than offering to the Buddhas of the 10 directions and to the Bodhisattvas. In other words, as stated in many tantras and commentaries, it is more beneficial to make offerings to a single pore of the Guru's body than to all Buddhas in the 10 directions and their children. There are two ways of thinking about this heading. The Buddhas of the 10 directions are willing to teach you Dharma, but you are not even fortunate enough to see the Supreme Nirmakaya, let alone the Sambhogakaya, because this appears only to ordinary beings with pure karma. Buddha manifested his body for us, but we were not fortunate enough to receive Dharma teachings from him. We therefore need an enlightened body suited to our level of good fortune to teach us Dharma. Thus, the victorious ones in the 10 directions emanate themselves as gurus for our sakes, rather like a mountain committee appointing a spokesman. When we properly devote ourselves to the guru, the Buddhas know it and are pleased. The essence of nectar, Lamrim says, this is on how they are placed. Page number 223. When you properly rely on the holy spiritual guide, you will soon be liberated from cyclic existence. Like a mother seeing her child receive health, all the victors are placed to the depths of their hearts. In other words, the victorious ones love us as a mother loves her only child. The Buddhas know this and are pleased that their wishes have been fulfilled when we properly devote ourselves to our gurus, the root of all welfare and happiness, and the only means to free ourselves from the suffering of samsara and the lower realms. The fifth Dalai Lama quoted the following lines in Manjushri's own words. If you are properly devoted, I will abide in the bodies of people having these qualifications. When these other accomplished beings accept your offerings and are pleased, your mindstream is purified of karmic obscurations. In other words, you may not have invoked the victorious ones, but they have still taken their places in your guru's body. When he is pleased by your offerings, they are too. But if you were to make offerings to the victors and their children, you would receive only the benefits of making the offerings, not of pleasing and delighting them as well. Making offerings to the guru brings the benefits both of the offering itself and of pleasing the Buddhas. Page number 224. When you rely on a spiritual guide, you will know how to modify your behavior and you will actually act appropriately. In the same way that you now automatically stop your misdeeds while you are living close to your spiritual guide or in your teacher's house. The laying out of stock sutras tell us the things done by people driven by karma and delusion are difficult for bodhisattvas under the care of victorious spiritual guides. The essence of nectar, Lamrim says, when you respectfully rely on him continually, all your delusion and misdeeds stopped of their own accord. Both Dromtenpa and Ame Chanchub Rinchen diligently served Adisha. In terms of concentration and realizations, they had more insights and experiences than Mahayogi, who practiced only in meditation. They had also developed more on the stages and the path than he. Adisha could see this by clairvoyance and told Drum, "You travel the path merely by serving your guru, a gray-haired monk." Some people think that only famous abbots and people who teach Dharma from high thrones are gurus, such as the Vajra masters who give initiations. This is not so. You must also be properly devoted to the teacher who shares the same room, sharing everything, and who tutors you in the books. When Adisha was ill, Drum did not regard his feces as something filthy. He carried them outside in his bare hands. As a result, he suddenly developed such clairvoyance that he could read the subtlest workings of the minds of animals, even ants, at a place so distant it will have taken a vulture 18 days to reach it. Even today, Drum is famed everywhere as the grandfather, great forefather of the Kadamba teachings. And the good works as vast as space itself of great Adisha, both in India and Tibet, came about solely through the power of Drum's profound guru devotion. Whether a saint's or another's good works are extensive depends on this devotion. Jun Shunwe, who came from Jayul, relied on Geshe Chengawa and served him well. One day he was taking out the rubbish. On arriving at the dump, he took only 3 steps when he developed the continuous Dharma single-pointed concentration. When Shajapandita once asked the Venerable Dagwa Gyanzen to compose a work on Guru Yoga, Dagwa at first said, "You only regard me as an uncle, not as a guru," and did not write the piece. Later, when Dagwa fell sick, Shajapandita nursed him well, and so the guru wrote about Guru Yoga. From that time on, Shajapandita regarded him as a Buddha, not just an uncle, and became a Pandit scholar in the five sciences. The last paragraph, you will not be deprived of virtual spiritual guides in all your future rebirths. Kishipadova says in the Blue Book of Spells, page number 227, avoid unexamined dharma relationships. After examining, take heed, pay respect to the guru. Things are such that in the future you will not lack a guru, for karma does not vanish. So I followed to explain yesterday. First, it's very important to look for a master who possesses all the qualifications, as it is being taught in the Lamrim teaching, about how to rely upon a teacher with all the qualities and also the qualities of the student. So when you have met a master or a teacher who has all these qualifications, then think about the negativities of not relying upon him and the positive qualities of properly relying upon him. So with such thoughts in mind, then we have to deeply from our heart rely upon that spiritual guide. Sorry, we are in page number 228. The disadvantages of not relying on a spiritual guide or of letting your devotion lapse. The disadvantages of not relying on a guru are the opposites of above 8 advantages. That is, you will not come closer to Buddhahood and so on. There are 8 disadvantages to letting your devotion lapse. Once you begin to rely on a guru, it is a great misdeed to then later let your devotion lapse. Thus, you must receive Dharma teachings only through a thorough investigation into whether that person is worthy or not. If you disparage your guru, you insult all the victories won. The guru is the physical embodiment of all the Buddhas and has come in order to subdue you. In a sense, he is a delegate. So if you disparage him, you criticize all Buddhas. If you must regard just one Buddha with reverence, what will happen when you insult all the Buddhas? By guru, we mean someone who wants to teach, and a disciple is someone who wants to listen, even to as little as one verse. We carry out strict guru devotion to our more famous gurus, but treat others such as the one who taught us the alphabet offhandedly. This is not right. J. Drup Kang Gyalegyazo developed no realizations while he still did not see as pure the disrobed monk who taught him the alphabet. The essence of nectar, Lamrim says, spiritual guides are the good works of all the Buddhas. This is so, for they appear to you as your guru. Since disrespect to him is said to be disrespect to all Buddhas, what action could ripen heavier? The commentary on the difficult points of Krishnayamari Tantra says, one who upon hearing even one verse does not hold as a lama will be born 100 times as a dog and then in the lowest of caste. And in 50 verses on the guru, if you disparage your guru, after feeling he is your protector and becoming his disciple, you disparage all the Buddhas. Page number 231. The ornament to the Vajra Hiradaya Tantra tells us, whoever displeases his perfect master, though he be the best practitioner of every tantra, though he give up sleep and all distractions, and practice well for 1,000 eons, he will achieve the health, and so on. Criticizing your guru prevents you from developing fresh realizations in this life, and those who have already developed will decline. Acharya Krishnacharya slightly disobeyed an order of his guru Jalandhari and thus did not accomplish the supreme goal in that life. Rechungpa disobeyed Milarepa 3 times and did not achieve the supreme goal. They say he took 3 rebirths to achieve it. Once an Acharya of low caste had a high caste disciple. This disciple could fly in the air. One day he flew over his guru, thinking, not even my guru can do this. His power immediately declined and he fell to the ground. Pandit Naruba forgot his guru's command and debated with some Tirthikas and thus did not achieve the supreme goal in that life, but had to wait until he reached the Bardo. Manjushri predicted that two particular novices from Khotan will achieve the supreme goal in that life. But the two developed wrong views about the Dharmaraja Sonsen Gambo because of their doubts about him. Instead of achieving the predicted supreme siddhi on returning to their homeland, they gain only the siddhi of being able. As Khandar Rinpoche says, a negative friend do not need to have a horn on their head. Someone who are kind to you, who care to you. But out of all these things, then of course, if that person harms you in achieving the main purpose in life, then that is really the negative friend. So the environment is also favoring only the desired objects. So this is one factor coming from our environment. Page number 232. If you mix with bad company, your insights and realizations will be dimmed. You must avoid such things. Most people these days only cling to this life. Everybody all values this life. Even those who care about us and those we took upon as helping us are actually bad company. Bad company don't wear coarse sacking. They don't have horns on their heads. Bad company means people who make you do something non-virtuous out of a fiend concern for your welfare, or who prevent you from doing something virtuous. Ignore such people, no matter who they may be. Regard them as terrifying, and if they were mad elephants, tigers, or rabbits, and avoid them, there are still some who have few wants and are content. Such people say soothing things like, "Don't give up so much, nothing comes of giving up so much." People who say such things are in fact bad company. But don't contradict them directly and don't insult them. That is not the right way for us to practice. In this life, you will suffer undesirable illnesses and so on. We are on page number 233. You will wander endlessly in the lower realms in your next life. This is a worse penalty for people who disparage their guru, says the Vajrapani Initiation Tantra. The sutras tell many stories about rebirths in the hells, but this tantra does not teach that a person who disparages his guru will be born in these hells. The tantra says, Vajrapani asked, "O Bhagavan, what are the ripening effects of disparaging one's master?" The Bhagavan gave this reply to the request for an explanation of these ripening effects. "O Vajrapani, I will not tell you, for it will terrify the world, gods and all. But all lot of the esoteric, I will say this much. Hearers, pay attention, listen. I say those people will say, in any of the mighty hells I describe while teaching on the heinous crimes and so on, and this for infinite eons, never and never dismiss your master." Page number 234. In other words, Buddha did not dare go into detail because he knew that the world, the gods and all will be terrified, and even the bodhisattvas and mahasattvas will faint. He taught only that such people must remain in the hell without respite for many years. So they say it is never right to disparage your guru. Apart from not actually disparaging him yourself, it is not even right to look at someone else who has done so. So this story shows. Once while Lingareba, a great adept, was teaching the Dharma, a disciple of Chak, the translator, turned up. This disciple has broken his commitments. Suddenly, Lingareba's mouth became paralyzed. He was unable to teach and departed. This is the opposite of one of the above advantages of relying on a spiritual guide. Not only will you not meet with the guru, but you will be born only in the places where there is no chance of hearing even the word Dharma. In short, as Jerembiche says, thus any good fortune you may have, that is all your worldly good fortune, resulted from reliance on a spiritual guide. Any misfortune is the result either of not relying on one or of letting your devotion lapse. If your devotion lapses, you will be deprived of virtues, spiritual guides, not only in this life but in future rebirths also. Page number 235. Gyatso Rinpoche's motives were unfortunate, but it turned out to be auspicious. Many things can happen. Many motives may turn out to be inauspicious. One must be careful. When we use our guru's name, we say Kushu, roughly translated as Mr. And so, Kushok such and such. Don't do this. You must use some form of honorific with his name, such as his reverence. Whenever Adisha used Suvarnadeva guru's name, he would clasp his hands together and call him the great Suvarnadeva. He would immediately stand up if anyone else uttered Suvarnadeva's name. I'm not trying to put myself forward, but I'm unhappy whenever I see my own precious guru's name used casually. If your guru is still alive, you should not use the honorific phrase, whose name I speak with difficulty. Page number 236. Kyabje Phabongkhor Rinpoche quoted this verse by Jerome Rinpoche. Anyone unattached to worldly happiness who are yearning to give meaning to their optimum rebirth follows a path pleasing to the victorious or fortunate ones. Listen with clear minds. The first line refers to the correct view according to the medium scope. The second refers to the small scope section of the path. The third to bodhicitta and the great scope. These particular headings treat the subject only as a topic of meditation. The headings in the swift path and the easy path are not clear about how one should investigate a spiritual guide. So I now want to discuss this according to Manjushri's own words. If as stated above, relying on a spiritual guide has these benefits, and if not relying on one has these drawbacks, on whom then should we rely? Relying on any spiritual guide at all is not good enough. You must rely on one who can teach the whole path. Someone with only a few good qualities, being extremely kind-hearted, for example, may not be capable of teaching the whole path. Even though the disciples may have faith, wisdom, and perseverance, if the guru has not fully mastered the sutras and the tantras, the disciples will spend their entire human life practicing just a few things, taking refuge, some sadhanas of deities, meditation on the inner rich veins and channels, and so on. The disciples' opportune rebirth will not be made meaningful. You must therefore rely on a fully qualified spiritual guide. There are many individual qualifications, the ability to give pratimoksha vows, tantric and bodhicitta vows, etc. Here I will deal with qualifications of a spiritual guide who can teach the complete lamrim. You should investigate to see whether a teacher has these qualifications before you rely on him. Not only should you investigate the qualifications of any guru you wish to rely on as your spiritual guide, but also anyone who wishes to give spiritual guidance in the Vinaya, Sutras, or Tantras should examine themselves to see. Rely on a spiritual guide who is spiritual. This seems to be the verse from the ornaments of the Sutra. So this is according to the mind-only school. So their assertion of the selflessness is different from other schools. So here the selflessness of a person is being referred. This makes 10 qualifications in all. Guru's mind stream should be subdued by ethics. Their mental distraction should be pacified by single-pointed concentration. Their grasping at self should be more pacified by wisdom. So when we count about the qualifications of the spiritual master, then the first one, the spiritual master should be qualified having possessed a huge amount of scriptural knowledge. So this is one of the qualifications referring here. So here it is said that to understand this is according to the highest Madhyamika school, the Madhyamika Prasangika, but I think it may not be so. So the earlier one is also referred to as Madhyamika Swatantrika, it may not be so. If you look at the whole text of the ornament of the sutra by Maitreya, then of course we will know that the text was speaking about the selflessness according to the mind-only school. I really do not know exactly, but that is what I have in my mind for now. Page number 238. Even if a guru doesn't have all these qualifications, he must definitely have at least these five: a mind stream subdued by each of the three high trainings, love and compassion, and realization into suchness. Kishapotova said, "Everyone taught my master, Shanchun Yerba, having studied much in anything, and because he had no patience when frustrated, he was hardly polite in speech. But Yerba has the above five qualifications, and anyone who meets him benefits. Nyitenba has absolutely no speaking skills, although he can discuss all the required topics. One would think that everyone will not understand, but that is not so. He has the five qualifications, and anyone near him benefits." So the outline here speaks about the qualifications of the master first, then also the qualifications that are necessary necessary in a student. And Jerome Che has taught in the Lerum Chemo, the great exposition on the path of enlightenment, that a disciple should be possessing of main three qualities. So we do not need to go into detail here. So 238 page. So see, if you are not able to rely properly on your spiritual master, then of course there will result in a lot of negative karmas. So therefore, it is very important to rely on your spiritual master in the correct manner. So here are the different ways. First, how to rely upon your spiritual master through your thought, then through other means. Page number 238, devoting yourself through thought. This is two subheadings, as I explained many days. So these are all speaking in the context of Buddhist. Of course, if it is something said by Lord Buddha, then we have to take it for granted. Then what is the nature of Buddha? It is a historical Buddha that happened in some time in the history. And of course, but when you come about the qualifications about the four fearlessness and so on, then you may get suspicion and doubt. So it is very important to first introduce the teachings of the Buddha. Otherwise, if you tell that this may be all teachings coming from some great teachers, then it will be difficult to understand. So here, when we speak about the beneficial qualities of relying upon a spiritual master and the negativities of not relying on a master is purely based on our own context. And spiritually, in a condition, in a society of a Tibetan society where the fathers and our grandfathers have been Buddhist for so many Buddhists, so this is according to this context. But generally, it is very important to first introduce the teaching of the Buddha. Having introduced the Buddha and understood, identify the teachings of the Buddha, then try to understand the Lord Buddha as the valid person. Then also understand the teaching of the Buddha that is based on Four Noble Truths. Then also the identification of liberation. So if that is possible, then as it's being stated by Dhammakriti, that if you are not focusing or if you are not having any doubt on the main point of the liberation, then the other things said by or prescribed or the professed by the Buddhas, they won't be, we do not need to doubt about that. So if it, since all these things are facts, then when we analyze or experiment further, then its reality nature should come out. So therefore, in most of the texts from the Prajnaparamita commentary by Madame Maitreya and so on are based on these teachings. So when you just see the text, you should not just out of reverence say this is very precious, but try to study the content and how it helps in one immediate and also for the long term. Also things about its purpose, is the ultimate purpose, its content and so on. Then also think about what the relations between the purpose and the ultimate purpose and in its content. So having studied and understood all then you will see that most of the texts composed by great Indian scholars and the pandits, in the starting of the page, there are 4 points based called the purpose, the main purpose, the content, and the relation between these. So therefore, first we have to understand the content of the teaching. So without understanding this, then of course we won't be able to know the meaning. So therefore, sometimes it is important to have the doubt. So without doubt, we won't be able to analyze anything. But of course, the doubt that we have to abolish or eliminate is the afflicted doubt that need to be eliminated. But generally, generally a doubt is very helpful in investigation. And it helps our mental intelligence not to sleep and to make further investigation and examination with respect to the teachings of the Buddha. And as I have explained before, so since Lord Buddha himself has ascertained all these facts, therefore he taught. So if he is not sure of, or if he has not generated conviction of his teaching, then he will tell them that just trust me or just take out of faith, you should take my teaching. But that is not the case that happens. Page number 239. Training yourself to have faith in your guru. This will have 3 headings. Here, faith means having the attitude that the Guru is actually a Buddha. This and the understanding that all sentient beings have at one time been your mother are the 2 most difficult Lamrim meditation topics to develop. Although they are difficult, you will not develop the other parts in your mindstream unless you put effort into these 2. Faith is generally the basis or root of the development of all positive things. The Lamb on 3 Jewel Sutra says, faith is the preparation. It gives birth like a mother. It protects all good qualities and increases them. Once a man asked Adisha twice, Adisha, please give me instruction. Adisha said, absolutely nothing. And the man met his request yet again, this time by shouting, hey, hey, said Adisha. I'm afraid my hearing is sound, quite sound. Here is my instruction. Have faith, faith, and faith. The great Gyawa Ensaba said, in brief, your experiences and realizations will be great or small, just as your familiarity with faith is great or small. But here the faith is considered very important. But faith itself, by just itself, is not enough without having the instruction or the wisdom. Page number 240. Another person mistook Om Vali Vali Vindu Swaha for the mantra of Goddess Chunda. The ways are wrong. They should be cheese. He recited this a number of times in so doing, a fame man was able to cook and eat rocks. If you lack faith, you will get nothing from your wisdom. There are 3 types of faith. The faith you should train in during this section of the Lamrim is cleansing faith. So the faith has to be backed by wisdom. And So Buddhist teach emphasizes on a faith which is grounded in wisdom and also compassion that is grounded in wisdom. Continue on page number 240. You must see him as a Buddha because you want a prophet, not a loss. So this is also stated very clearly in Kyosang Lamrim. And here it is really in very great extensive. So I think this is the most extensive explanation about how to rely upon a spiritual master. So the point is that if you want something, if you want yourself to be benefited, then of course you have to rely upon a spiritual master. But some points here are quite difficult to believe. I'm not so sure whether. And these stories, sometimes we need to investigate where it happened and when it happened, or it's just a story being told. Continue on page number 240. The reason you must regard the Guru as a Buddha. You must see him as a Buddha because you want a profit, not a loss. You want a prophet, so if you regard your guru as a Buddha, whether he is or not, you will effortlessly achieve all your wishes in these and future lives. A great prophet indeed. To illustrate, and all men have faith. During Lord Buddha's time, so Lord Buddha, if you praise someone, then of course you get good merit, and if you insult other people, then you will get negative results. So in the Guide to the Bodhisattva, where it says that all the wishes of the sentient beings were not being able to fulfill even by the Lord Buddha, then how can I, a normal people, can do that? And to see the qualities of the Buddha or not, of course, if we need to use the investigative part of our mind, wisdom, and with that, if you have that investigative mind or your intelligence backed by wisdom, then we will be able to see the real qualities of Lord Buddha. The blue book of spells says, the Guru's blessing or not really, great or small, it will depend on you. So the master as the, your own master as the Buddha, and why we need to see the, your master as Buddha, and the, your master is not different from the Vajradhara. So these are all coming from the Vajrayana. And according to Vajrayana teachings, a master is to be someone who give all the four different kind of initiations, and also the fourth initiation of word initiation, and the two a master which give the fourth initiation of the word initiation by experience. Of course, that master has to be a Buddha who have attained the highest state of blissful state. And without having the experience for oneself, it is impossible to give the fourth initiation. So the main spiritual master, which is according to Mahayana tradition, possessing all the qualities according to Mahayana tradition, has to be the lone Vajradhara. So, other than that, whether he may be in the enlightened state or the accumulating stage or the any of the 10 stages or the 10 grounds, and also in the Paramita, Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, it speaks about our own teachers, about also in the engaging paths. So not even have seen the emptiness. But the real master, according to Tantra, has to be someone who has his own practice and experience of the blissful state. So since that is the more important, that is the most important master, the other, if you rely upon any other masters who may even not have that qualities, of course, you one will be benefited. But to analyze and to know what kind of the qualities or the understanding and realizations that other person possess, it is something very hidden phenomena or an obscured phenomena, so which is very difficult to fathom for us. So even if your master has to be someone who is not even on the path to enlightenment, but if you have regard and consideration him to be like a Vajradhara, then there are possibilities and chances that you will get the blessings as from a real Buddha. Even though your master must be a real Buddha or Vajradhara in fact, but if you do not have the faith and revert him accordingly, then you won't get any blessing at all. So it is similar to the practicing or contemplation of the mind, awakening mind. So since we all aspire to have happiness and do not want to have suffering, so the teachings of the Lord Buddha brings immediate happiness, or for the long-term happiness, happiness for the next life, happiness for entire life. So therefore, Shantideva says that, why would we not practice the bodhicitta, which brings you happiness one from the other, from here to the next life? So therefore, I always say that from within the different teachings, and also particularly the Lord Buddha's teaching is to make other people happy, not to frighten people. There are many teachings, even Christianity, some teachings of the Christian are based on compassion and love, but sometimes they seem to be frightening people in order to bring disciples. Something like, if you do not have faith in God, you will be born in hell. Or if you have faith in God, you will be born in heaven. And if you do not have faith, then you will be born in hell. But then if you think carefully, something which brings you happiness of the higher rebirths in immediate and the liberation for ultimate, so that is the teaching of Lord Buddha. So I'm not able to remember that verse. So even though at this time when we have this body, which is within the power of the afflicted emotions, and
Taba la gig mishiba tangs. Any Hakurto, you don't want Taba, Tosu Kevin, you say, ye sums. What Kazusha did it? Lama Tamba Nabala, Taba, Tip Connect Chinde, Tangas, Lamashanja, soon to Tamanya, and Sosuchi, Locale Charia, and it's a Chotia, Lamachin, Connor, or did it? Tamba Nabala, Taba, Tip Connect Chinde, Mother Shinga. 자상한테도 정수경 then 마다버 나와 두지는 나와 코네 왕 같은 데가 나와 마도 사제 랑은 타고 라고 버실 수 있지. 너가 지나 다 내 파서 또 심지 담고 도와. 냄시 인류주 나머지 뭐 타고 좀 저서 사와 예배도 숨어 수지 여러분들 신이 미시 행시 때문에 롱리기도 그거 잡아 지나다고 알람 사제님 뭐 도저히 상관 심하니 크지 이게 미신이 넘어라 사제 문에 미미 신이 된주 그거 사도 죽기 예냐 뭐 오니 예냐 뭐 전에 주는 거 너무 싶어서 그래서 뭐 내 되나 디저스인데 알람 사제님 상관 뭐냐 뭐 맞춰 봐 인
I will take the form of masters, think that they are me, and develop respect for them. Page number 243. Further, all our present-day gurus are thus. If you think this is not so and put four reasons for each guru, so this is also very helpful. And if you so due to so there are possibility that the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas may appear in the, different forms and take different forms and manifestations in order to benefit. So if these are possibilities, then my own Vajra Master is the only possibility that he is a manifestation of the Buddha himself. So how to think about is that so it is very difficult to draw a distinction which of your master is the manifestation and not. So therefore, the best way is to have a consideration, a genuine consideration of all your masters as the genuine Vajradhara himself. So this way, it will be even easier for our own practice. And not only that, so today, when we have this when we are able to generate the mind for enlightenment and liberation, it is all due to one's own master. That we are able to draw a distinction between what is a positive thing and what is a negative thing, what are the things that need to be practiced and what are the things that need to be abandoned. So this is all due to the kindness of our own Vajra Master. Page number 243, last para. Proof that the Guru is the agent of all the Buddha's good works. As I mentioned in the section above on the merit field, the single moon in the sky appears as separate reflections on the surface of water standing in many different containers. Similarly, the primal wisdom of the minds of all Buddhas, the primal wisdom of non-dual bliss and emptiness, is of one taste with the Dhammadhatu and appears in various aspects to the disciple, as Sarvakas to disciples best subdued by Sarvakas, and as Pratika Buddhas to disciples best subdued by Pratika Buddhas, and so on. Page number 244. In other words, Buddhas take on various aspects as demons of Brahma for people best subdued by demons of Brahma, and even as birds and wild beasts for people best subdued by birds and beasts, etc. They show themselves to us in accordance with our good fortune as ordinary spiritual guides. They have no other means of guiding us. They might show us such aspects superior to an ordinary guru as the Sambhogakaya and so forth, but we cannot see them. And if they were to show themselves in inferior aspects, such as birds, beasts, and so on, it will not help because we would not believe in them. Continuing on page number 244. That is the three kayas of all Buddhas and contained within the three secrets of the Guru. The Guru is an emanation of all Buddhas, created in order to perform good works. Suppose a lead dancer in a monastic ritual puts on the Acharya costume and dances the part. Then he dresses as Dharmaraja and dances that part. He has only changed costume, it is still the same dancer. Or you can write many different things with the same red ink, but they all have same nature. A Buddha which possess all the enlightened activities. And it may be difficult for such a master to depend on an ordinary person. So therefore, for everyone, it is very important to depend on a spiritual master and regard him as the genuine or the true Buddha himself. Page number 245. When Buddhas work for the sake of sentient beings, they do not even need help from Sharvakas, Pratikya Buddhas, or the great Bodhisattvas. So how could we talk of them being assisted by ordinary beings? So Buddhas emanate as ordinary beings so that sentient beings are fortunate enough to see them. They also emanate as boats, bridges, and so forth. But these things appear to us merely as the work of carpenters. We can detect nothing else about them. Sajja Pandita quotes the illustration of the lens. Though the sun's rays are hot, there can be no fire without a lens. Similarly, without a guru, you cannot receive the blessings of the Buddhas. Page number 245, continuing from the last paragraph. Vajradhara emanates himself at present and definitely works for the sake of all beings. The Buddhas unmistakably know the situation of all sentient beings, love them even more than a mother loves her only child, and always without interruption do their utmost to carry out good works. How could they not be similarly working for our sakes in the present times? Ever since the Buddhas first developed bodhicitta, they have worked solely for our sakes. They also built up their accumulations for our sakes. They even became enlightened for the sake of sentient beings. Now that they have achieved the result, it will be impossible for them not to continue benefiting us. All the Buddhas would not be so callous to abandon us by not working for our sakes. So they most surely are benefiting us. If all the Buddhas definitely benefit us, then there is no other way for them to do it than as follows. The great ones do not wash away sin with water. They do not rid beings of suffering with their hands. They do not transfer realizations of suchness onto others. They liberate by teaching the truth of suchness. Page number 247. Emanations of the Buddhas are doing this. There is no one else to teach the means to high rebirth and definite excellence, the supreme benefits. In the prayer of Kesang Jamyang, we find the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the past still work for the sake of beings. Know that this is not merely an assertion. It holds true for qualified gurus. My own guru said, there is a complete Buddha sitting on the head of every sentient being. Page number 248. Tishan Rinpoche used to tell me a story. When he was in Lhasa, one day, I think from the Kongbo side of Tibet, and he came to see Trishan Rinpoche and he cried a lot. He was crying. He went to see the Zhou at the Zhuglakang, and when he went there, he didn't see the Zhou, the statue. It's only an empty seat there. So maybe it's on her own negative karma. So therefore, was very crying and very disturbed. So this is a real story. And there's another story. One Khajur Lama Rinpoche, during the oral transmission of Khajur text, and one of the students, he did not hear anything about the discourse, but he was seeing the Rinpoche eating, enjoying a feast on the throne. This is a true story told by Trishan Rinpoche and Ling Rinpoche, my two tutors. So therefore, there are many people, there are some people who may not see the statue of Zhou statue. But the Chinese, when they when the Chinese destroyed the Zhou statue, but they even destroy it. And there is a hole in the Zhou statue. So we say that it was hit by the deity. So therefore, the mode of existence can be really very extensive and very unique sometimes. Chang'e or Lodri Gyanzen said, we continue on page number 248. Measure of evil karma and resulting obscurations. I think here from America, there was one a bhikshuni, and she told me that we have a collaboration of writing a book. She was doing research on the Pali tradition of Buddhists and their condition, and also the difference between the Sanskrit and the Pali, and what are the similarities and what are the difference. So we decided to make a book. So for the research purpose, she went to Thailand. She met a bhikshu, a full ordained monk, and his teacher, that master's teacher, and one day that master has manifestations of Lord Buddha, a statue of Lord Buddha, and also surrounded by many arahats. And after that, he used to write in his text and the philosophy, and he said that, which he believed that after the remainder nirvana, one can attain the nirvana without remainder, where all the mental consciousness and the physical form cease. So he said that this may be not true, because I have a vision of Buddha and his arahats surrounding giving teaching. So therefore, I think it was on another occasion, she went to also to see Avalokiteshvara statue in one of the town near in China. And she bowed down, almost bowed down and touched the ground. And suddenly a white beam emanated from the Avalokiteshvara statue, and the beam struck on the head of her. And I saw the picture she had taken. So this is something also happened. As I used to say, Thanglong Gomo Rinpoche is previous, no, Thanglong Shabdong Rinpoche. There is a relation with Denjong Chökyel. And when he was staying at the Chinese prison for many years, one day in prison, and there was a deity from Thanglong, and that deity or the protector came directly to the prison and said, there is nothing I can do. That was what Rinpoche told me. So the reason why, this is not why I meant. So the reason is, Rinpoche is my friend, and he came to India. He's very good. He's not so intellectual, but a really a great practitioner. And Rinpoche told me that he went to receive Kagyu. He have given a Kagyu lineage of transmission to Dogu Khyentso Rinpoche, and there is some unique with that discourse, and within that discourse, the teaching, and all the lineage masters of that traditions have he has a vision of that manifest vision of all the lineage masters in front of him, and he is. He's also related to Sikkim king's family, and also he's a very close friend to me. He's also spent so many years in prison. Then he came to India with all the facilities, so there is no need for him to tell a lie to me. So definitely this is not a lie. If Rinpoche can tell a lie, there is nothing that Rinpoche can gain, even not a higher state. So therefore, it is 100% sure that Rinpoche was telling the truth. He's a great and a very sincere Rinpoche. So the account of Rinpoche is true. So due to one's own experiences and due to one's own realizations and faith and to the power, there is a possibility that we can have a vision and all manifestations of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. This is a true incident. And there is also another incident. There's a nun who used to stay in McLeod Ganj. She was about 80 years old when I met him. When I met her, staying in a small shelter in McLeod Ganj. It was the home minister, Ngudrup Dorje, at that time. When she was about to die, she came to see me. She saw me and she told me a story. First, she was from a well-off family. And her husband passed away when she was very young. And then she left out the normal life and always practiced a recitation of prayers and so on. And she also stayed for retreat in Drigung place. And then there was a teacher about 80 years who came from Kham region, and she took teachings and transmissions from that master. And there were some disciples or followers for that master also. And one day when she was sitting there, one of the students of that master, and from one rock to another rock, which is quite far away, flew with flanking the monk's robe. So that is what she has seen. And it's also a lady about 80 years old. She won't tell lies, and there is no benefit of telling lies. She was also so therefore, these are some strange incidents that can happen. But these are all happened due to one's own faith, due to the power of the faith. These are real stories, real incident that I wanted to tell you today. So such things happened.
works.
We are now on page 250. So I'll just read through the text. Even during Buddha's lifetime, there were Tritikas who could not see his marks and signs. They could see only a mass of faults in him. Devadatta regarded Buddha's deeds as mere fraud. The right perspective see the Guru as a mesh of our world. A bandit chief from Upper Golok Arik traveled to Lhasa to see the Shakyamuni statue in the main cathedral, but he couldn't see even things like butter lamps, let alone the statue. The previous incarnation of Hengyesirin, which told him to purify his karma and obscuration, the bandit then had a 10,000-fold offering ceremony performed and did circumambulations and prostrations, but still he could not see the statue. However, he could now see the body lamps. When Losang Chenye Rinpoche of Gomang College was giving the oral transmission of the translated words of the Buddha, a monk in the audience could not hear the transmission or see the book. Instead, he saw a plate of chopped meat placed in front of Rinpoche. While Rinpoche gave the transmission, the monk imagined Rinpoche was eating the meat. And at the end of the day, he imagined he saw people gathering up the meat. Anything is possible when one's perspective is not mere karmic appearances. The amount by which you purify your karma and obscurations determines the level of appearance. Your perspective is unreliable so far from assessing your guru, you cannot assess anyone, your colleagues, friends, relatives, and relatives, even your god, dogs, the gods, demons, and so on. You can only assess yourself. Overstep that and you are subject to doubts. When Gyawa Wensa was about to achieve the unification, there were people who called him Matt Wensa. The Dhammaraja Kamayama disguised himself as a disciple of Jerimbuja. Once Jerimbuja was about to disclose some profound and difficult points concerning the secret tantras to an unsuitable person, and Kamayana stopped him. This upset Gyenzen Sangbo and Kitub Rinpoche had to tell him not to make such a fuss. The Bhagwan Buddha said, only I and beings like myself can assess the worth of a person. In India, page 251. In India, a novice monk went to the island of Vachigira to confirm the report that all the men there were duckers and the women duckinis. But while he was there, he could not see good qualities in anyone and instead developed faith in a charlatan. Naro Penchung said the following about Miller River. People who have not seen the famous Miller River say great things about him. He's like the great Indian adepts. When they go to see him, they find a naked old man asleep. These stories make a mockery of everything we see. We therefore know nothing about even our most intimate friends and relatives. So to be on the safe side, train yourself to see everything as pure. Many scholars thought that the great Shantideva, a real child of the victorious ones, lived for three things only: eating, sleeping, and relieving himself. They could not see his good qualities. Our perspective is similarly untrustworthy. You cannot be sure that what you see as as a fault is really a fault. The way you view things and the way you see things go together. Upadana, a monk who knew the three baskets, remained mistaken in his thoughts and views, for he felt, I see Buddha for what he is. His teachings on karmic causes are self-serving frauds. It isn't true that he has no faults left. If Upadana can be wrong, what about us? When a teacher goes without sleep and does recitations night and day, pupils who are extremely fond of sleep will in their hearts of hearts see this as a fault. If the pupils drink beer, they will think of themselves lucky if their teacher also drink beer. They will take it as a good quality. So not only may the things you see as faults not be faults, but you can't be sure what things are good qualities. You cannot be sure that the guru is not just simulating a fault as a teaching for our own good. The meaning of Father and Son Sutra and the great Sutra on Buddha's Nirvana speak at great length of how the Tathagatas manifest as hostile persons, misers, cripples, madmen, immoral people, and so on, where this will be of benefit. In general, the suttas and tantras can be definitive or interpreted. There are various interpretations as to whether a scripture should be taken literally. But when the victor, Vajradhara, says that in the future he will appear in the aspect of gurus, it is a definitive, literal statement, one that we too should accept. We know that there is no one other than the guru to teach us the path to liberation and omniscience. It would be unconvincing and contradictory for us to think, my guru, who according to Vajradhara is a Buddha, is not a Buddha because he has such a fault. Consider page 252. Consider the above points from each and every angle and recognize the guru for what he is. A Buddha from the very beginning, proving this to yourself through scriptures and reasoning, brings certain knowledge that your guru is a Buddha. You have developed realization into how to devote yourself to the spiritual guide. When you have that certainty and that experience arises of a kind of mingling of the guru with all the Buddhas. About the mingling of your own mind and that of the guru, when you are fully enlightened, your mind, the guru's mind, which is Dharmakaya, great bliss, mingle and become one of one taste. At this point, you are enlightened, becoming by nature a guru. You achieve the guru state. Your body, speech, and mind are inextricably mingled with the guru's. This is the point of your having a close relationship with him. Your mind must come closer to conforming with the guru's mind. Next section, developing respect for him by remembering his kindness. According to Kyesan Jayang and his disciple, this has four headings. The guru is much kinder than the Buddhas. His kindness in teaching the Dharma, his kindness in blessing your mind stream, and his fall, his kindness in attracting you into his circle through material gifts. The guru is much kinder than all the Buddhas. This has two parts. He's much kinder than all the Buddhas in general. The guru, in terms of good qualities, is equal to the Buddhas. His kindness, however, is generally greater than that of all the Buddhas. Infinite numbers of Buddhas have guided countless sentient beings for immeasurable eons in the past, but we were not among them. The Guru Puja says, I petition you, compassionate refuge and protector. You accurately teach the Sutagata's noble path to the difficult to tame beings of these degenerate times who were unfit for taming by countless past Buddhas. In other words, 75,000 Buddhas, another 76,000 Buddhas, yet another 77,000 and so on came into the world solely to be the object of Buddha, our teachers built up of the accumulations. Moreover, in this eon alone, the Buddhas Karakuchachanda and Kanakamuni, Kashyapa, and so on have guided boundless numbers of disciples, but they could not subdue us. The Guru is teaching us the complete and unmistakable path now. Even the previous manifestation of the Buddhas could not do better. Thus, although the Guru and the Buddhas are equals in terms of good qualities, the Guru is their superior in terms of kindness. Geshe Potova said that the Guru is like someone who gives a dying person food during a famine, while the Buddhas are like those who give slabs of meat in times of plenty. The King Tisun Devasin, Shanda Rakshita, and Guru Padma Sambhava, regarding them, usually we consider Guru Rinpoche as the main, and then Shanda Rakshita and the King. However, Derda Lingba, a contemporary Nyingma master of the 5th Dalai Lama, he's... he's in his one of his writings, in a one praise to the three of them, in that he has regarded Chandra Rakshita as the most important, second the king, Guru Padma Sambhava, and then third the king. So when we draw paintings of the three beings, we put Guru Rinpoche in the center, then Chandra Rakshita on the right and left, the king on the left. But a few years ago, I had discussions with some Nyingma lamas. They're saying that when the three beings were there, at that time, two divisions were made. The tantrics and the Vinaya monks, the tantric adepts who wear white shamtab, their white dress, and the monks who wore red Vinaya, maroon dress. And the Samya Monastery was built by modeling it on the Odandapuri Monastery of India. And then this monastery has a few departments, the Department of Meditation, the Department of Translation, the department where tantric adepts wearing white dress staying, and the department where Vinaya holders, monks wearing maroon robes, live and practice. So because of this division of white and red dressed practitioners, so on the basis of that, so when you consider the tantric adepts more important, Guru Rinpoche is put in the center and Chandra Rakshita on the right and the king on the left. Whereas the Vinaya, where they emphasize on the Vinaya tradition, started by Chandra Rakshita, Chandra Rakshita was painted in the center and Guru in the right and the king on the left. Chandra Rakshita was the one who introduced the Vinaya tradition in Tibet. He introduced the Mool Sarvastivadin tradition in Vinaya tradition in Tibet. And so Chandra Rakshita was... So this is what I heard. His Holiness is, I think, page 254. His Holiness is referring to a verse composed by Kongtang Teme Drume, which says, "Great masters and kings lived in the past, and who are living behind great legacies for sentient beings. But when you think properly, right now they are all just sounds, names, and they have long gone, and have gone into the past." So this is. So even though they were really great, because we have such low merit, are still left behind in samsara, with no qualities, with very low merit, low wisdom, so on. So this is what the text is saying. After the Buddha, I'm reading now on page 254. After Buddha, there were many pandits and adepts in India, such as the seven patriarchs of the teaching, the 80 Mahasiddhas, the six jewels of India, and the two supreme ones. And Tibet has so many saints. In the first dissemination of the teachings, there were Padmasambhava, King Chisundil, Shanda Rakshita, and the rest of the 25 disciples of Padmasambhava. During the later dissemination, there were the five lords of Sakyas, Marpa, Milarepa, Adisha, and his disciples, Jetsongapa, and his disciples, and so on. But none of them taught us in person the nectar of the holy Dharma, the means to rescue us from the great ocean of suffering. In short, as Shantideva says, in engaging the deeds of Bodhisattvas, countless Buddhas have worked. Buddhas who worked for the sake of all sentient beings have departed, and because of my misdeeds, I was not among those who healed by them. In other words, we should think as follows. I was not born in the right place, nor did I go to places they visited. Also, every past saint could not guide me and gave up on me. I am the dregs of the dregs. What great compassion my guru has in rescuing me now in this way. The next section, his kindness in teaching the Dharma. The great Bodhisattva once gave himself, his sons, daughters, relatives to fierce yakshas for the sake of one verse of Dharma. When our teacher was reborn in Rilingalita, he drove 1,000 iron spikes into his body in order to receive Dharma teachings. When reborn as King Ganeshava, he burned his flesh with 1,000 oil lamps and jumped into a fiery pit. As King Paramavarva, he used his skin as paper and his ribs as a pen and listened to the Dharma. Great Adisha endured great difficulty sailing the ocean for 13 months to receive these London teachings, heedless of the dangers of storm, sea monsters, and so on. People like Marpa and Milarepa underwent many difficulties to receive Dharma teachings. Page 255. Even today, it is not easy matter to travel to India, but the translators of old risked their lives to go there to receive Dharma teachings. They offered their gurus golden mandalas only to receive the teaching. Even recalling the hardships they had undergone made them shudder. How most kind your guru is then to teach you the whole path. Not even the Buddhas could keep you a better teaching without requiring you to endure even the slightest hardship, Adisha said. What great merit you must have to receive such profound Dharma without any hardship. Be serious and practice it well. Suppose a person is about to die because he has eaten medicine, food, and poison. Our doctor would be showing the most kindness if he made him vomit up the poison, turn the ingested food into medicine, and transform the ingested medicine into the ambrosia of immortality. Well, we have performed many unvirtuous actions that will take us to the lower realms. This is like the ingested poison. The Guru makes us purify these actions. We would normally accumulate virtue for the things of this life, a long life, a good health, gifts, and fame. The Guru gets us to change direction, have a sound motivation, make pure prayers, and dedicate our view, our virtue. Our virtue has been transformed into something beneficial for future lives. He also makes us transform the virtue we collected to achieve higher rebirths and liberation into supreme completed Buddhahood. Who could be kinder? The essence of nectar, Lamrim says. If they say we cannot repay the kindness of being taught one verse, even by offering for as many eons as the verse has letters, how to repay the kindness of being taught the entire noble path? And another verse, how very kind someone would be to take a man suffering in prison, take him out of prison on bail and set him up in affluence. But the Guru teaches us the means to be free of the three lower realms. He is kind indeed, for we will then enjoy all desired affluence as gods and humans. He teaches well the supreme means to pacify all misfortunes of samsara and nirvana. He leads us to the holy state, the three kayas. What could be a greater kindness? Next section. His kindness in blessing our mind stream. Whatever realization you develop in your mind stream come from the Guru's blessing because you petitioned him and so on. If you take Guru Yoga as the very life force of the path, you will make great progress on the path. This is the very point of the Guru's blessing. When Tilopa struck Naropa in the face with a mud mandala, Naropa's ability to hold a single-potted concentration immediately extended to 7 days. Even the fact that we can still remember different Dharma teachings that we could not remember previously, for example, is due to our Guru's blessing in our mind streams. This year, On the 24th of the fourth month, I received a clear sign that my precious guru, my refuge, my and protector had blessed me. That blessing is making our present Lamrim teaching go so well. Once my guru, my refuge and protector, was holding an offering ceremony at Dhakpur with about 25 geshis. I also participated in such unbearable, intolerable repudiation arose in me that my eyes were full of tears, and so on. From the start of the inseparable bliss and void Guru Puja, and continuing for quite a while, even that was a blessing from the Guru. If you petition the Guru, you will achieve all good things and everything you desire in this life and the next. Mahasi Tilupa said, "The most useful thing of all is the Guru Naropa, or Naropa." And Gyawa Gwazamba said, "Many meditate on the developing stage, but meditation on the Guru is the highest. Many perform the recitations, but petitioning the Guru is the highest. If you constantly petition him, you will surely experience inseparability with him, from him." This is sort of a footnote. Kepti Pongo told some stories how once a man from Rading offered butter lambs to a statue of Domtenpa, and his wishes were fulfilled. How Adisha was blessed by Dombiba, how Dukang Gele Gyazo blessed Pujo Ngawang Champa, and so on. Next section, how his kindness in attracting you into his circle through material gifts. Let's see. I think he's on this is page 258 now. I think we should go to page 259. I think His Holiness is reading this verse. They say we should recite verses on the Guru's kindness when we contemplate how very kind He is. The following verses were spoken by Kumara Mani Bhadra in the section of the kindness of the spiritual guide. By spiritual guides, from the laying out of stalks sutra, my spiritual guides, my exponents of the Dharma, are qualified to teach me all the Dharma. They came with but one thought, to fully teach me the task facing the Bodhisattvas. Because they gave birth to me, they are like my mother. They are like wet nurses feeding me the milk of good qualities. They have thoroughly trained in the branches to enlightenment. These spiritual guides keep me from the... I have given a family life that pit of fire and carry out in solitude the sages' deeds. I taste the succulent nectar of the Dharma. This is the kindness of my venerable gurus. I have met the teachings of Tsongkhapa. How to find in 1,000 years of searching and gain faith in the way he taught. This is the kindness of the holy tutors. Therefore, my spiritual guides and our protectors shielding me from lower realms, captains to free me from samsara's ocean, guides to lead me to higher rebirth and liberation, doctors to cure me of chronic delusions, rivers to douse the great fires of some suffering, lamps to remove the darkness of ignorance, suns to light the path to liberation. Liberators from the closed prisons of samsara, clouds that greatly rain the holy Dharma, dear friends who help me dispelling harm, kindly parents who are always loving. Contemplate these verses as you recite them and remember the kindness of your own gurus. Devoting yours...
Thank you.
think devoting yourself through next is devoting yourself through deed, speech. I think we are on page 263. There's much evidence this life will be short, but one cannot know its exact length. Take from it the most desirable things, and as a swan separates milk from water. He restated the headings already covered and then briefly reviewed the subjects of devotion to the spiritual guide. Devoting yourself through deeds, that is the next section. In an ornament to the sutras, we find through gifts and reverence, through service and through practice, rely on a spiritual guide. In other words, there are three ways to devote yourself through deeds. The least, gifts and reverence, middling, service, and best, practice. When, for example, pupils rely on their teacher, they are carrying out all three of these. So proper devotion to a teacher or a guru is guru yoga. If your reliance on a guru is based on a personal relationship, you need not emphasize the visualization side of your guru. When he's not with you in person, you should generate the merit of your visualization, perform the bathing ceremony, and make petitions, prostrations, offerings, etc. The best means of pleasing your spiritual guide is to offer him your practice of his instruction. Vilarepa said, I have no material wealth or gifts to offer. My practice repays my kindly father guru. I practice with courage, ignoring hardship. This is service pleasing to my father guru. That's page 264. The two traditions of Manjushri's own words, the brief southern lineage and the more extensive central lineage versions, teach that devotion through deeds comes under the fourth preparatory rite. Devotion to the spiritual guide through thought is covered by the third preparatory rite. According to this text, when you are somewhere without your guru, you devote yourself through deeds by performing the last three preparatory rites. That is, you invite the guru to the merit field at the start of devotion through deeds, then making offerings and so on. In this way, you please your guru with material gifts. To do this, you consecrate the earth surfaces above. You then invoke the birth power to visualize the earth surfaces lapis lazuli with vajra crosses drawn in gold, which seem to stand out in relief. But if you were to touch them, you would find them to be flush with the surface. In the lineage of the central province, in the center of the ground surface, there is a square palace. This has four entrances and no ornamental facades. So it resembles the palace in the medicine Buddha mandala. The palace is huge. At its center, there are four platforms on a large throne supported by lions, like a stupa without the pot-shaped dome. Visualize on the first highest platform three lion thrones. There are to the rear of the platform. On the middle throne sits the Vigra Shakyamuni. Matthias sits on the throne to his right. Manjushri on the one to his left. The lineage gurus of the extensive deeds and profoundly lineages sit behind each of these two. There are three lion thrones on the front portion of the platform. Adisha Nakso, the translator, the Domtempa, sits on these. There's a group of three lion thrones on the second platform. Tsongkhapa, the victorious one, sits on the middle throne. Sherab Singhi to his right. Kenjin Drup, the first Dalai Lama, to his left. On the third platform is a group of three lion thrones. The great fifth Dalai Lama sits on the central throne. To his right, Jinpa Gyatso. To the Dalai Lama's left, Jambu Chenden himself, a truly glorious guru. On the fourth platform, your root guru sits in the middle throne. The text says his sheep disciples should sit to his right and left, but according to the oral instruction, his gurus sit to his right and his guru's gurus to his left. Your other guru sits on the silken cushions. One tradition has all the gurus of the three baskets sitting on the remaining three sides of the platforms, and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, Shavakas, Pratyek Buddhas, Dharma Protectors, etc., at the rear of the platforms. In other tradition, you visualize the lineage gurus of the extensive deeds and profound view lineages placed in their proper order to the right and left of the trios of gurus. Visualize their Vinaya basket lineage gurus on the right of the platform, Abhidharma basket gurus on the left, and the Sutra basket gurus at the rear of the platform. You do not have to visualize tutelary deities, etc. If you wish to do this meditation, it is enough to think these figures are present in person, even though you cannot see them clearly. The figures on the rear parts of the platform are not hidden by the lion thrones of the front groups of the groups of three gurus. These rear figures also face towards you. The bathhouses has four entrances. Inside is a full complement of thrones for the merrifit. There's no pool inside, and the center of the floor is raised. The seven-limbed prayer and the rest are the same. The southern lineage is quite different. Visualize in front of you a great lion-supported throne with seven platforms. This is like the form of the Kadamba altar. The stages are made of seven precious substances. Refer to the recitation text for details. The lions stand on the ground. The top platform has a scrim or backdrop like cloth that resembles the backrest of thrones of high lamas and has two fine finials on the top corners, which are called twisted metal arrows. These decorations look like handles and are made of a precious substance. Each platform also has small golden stairways that go down the sides of the platforms and lead down to the other stairs in front of the lion throne. At the top of the scrim curves up to the center and is surmounted by a golden ganjira pinnacle with victory banners to the left and right. In the middle of the first and the highest platform is a throne with the backrest for Shakyamuni. The throne is supported by six creatures, a naga, a garuda, etc., to symbolize the six perfections. These are five brocaded cushions stacked on Shakyamuni's throne. Maitreya sits to his right and Manjushri to his left, on thrones with three cushions each. These thrones are not supported by lions. Your guru sits in front of them in his normal aspect and two cushions and doesn't need a throne. His guru sits to his right, his guru to the left. They each sit on only one cushion. Your other gurus who are still alive sit on mats. The central portion of the platform is left empty as if to leave a pathway. Your guru is Page 266. So the text goes on. I'm trying to catch up with His Holiness because I'm behind His Holiness. Next, Jebji Pawanga Rinpoche then told this story and discussed the practice in greater detail. Next, you wash their bodies. The bathhouse, unlike the above, has four glass doors, one for each cardinal direction. It has no central pool, but there are many ewers. Its ceiling has a system of beams and pagodas from which hangs sachets of fragrant lotion or paste. Imagine that the water descends directly from these into the ewers. During the washing ceremony, the monks in the merit field come down in groups of three. They take their places in thrones in the bathhouses above and take their and the clothes collected from them are in the form of yellow light rays. The figures are then washed. The rest is the same as above. The next section is what to do in the last part of the session. At the end of a particular Lamrim meditation topic, recite the name and mantra of Shakyamuni, the king of the Shakyas, and make prayers and dedications. Next section, what to do between meditation sessions. There is no time that cannot be included in either the meditation session itself or the internal between sessions. It is vital to make proper use of the between session period. If you train your mind during the meditation session and then allow it to become distracted in between sessions, it will play havoc with your practice when you return to the meditation session. But if the period between sessions goes well, your optimum human rebirth becomes meaningful. That is why Jerry Rinpoche placed such emphasis in his teaching and writing on the time between sessions as well as on the meditation session itself. Let us take this particular meditation topic as an example. Between sessions, you should read the accounts in the authentic commentaries on the devotion to the spiritual guide on how, for example, Naropa devoted himself to Tirupa, Milarepa to Mapa, Domdempa to Lama Sitsimpa, And Atisha, they say your wisdom will slacken if you read other kinds of books. Reading stories, for example, causes your hostilities to increase. So in order to increase your wisdom, don't read them. To prevent delusions from arising at all between meditation sessions, we could become so restrained that our senses do not even see the object that gives rise to delusions. We have not yet achieved this, however, so we should be vigilant all the time with our three doors. And even if, for example, we see something attractive, not allow our mind to be led astray. We need to constantly guard the three doors of our senses with the vigilance. You should refer to the chapter on maintaining vigilance in Shantideva's Engaging in the Deeds of Bodhisattvas for more details. The gist of that chapter is, time and again examine the state of your body and mind. In short, that alone is the definition of maintaining vigilance. That is, it is vital to maintain vigilance. You should perform the actions of your three doors, the movements of your body, the things you say, and the trains of thought that go through your mind while gaining and giving these matters their due consideration. Supposing you go into a room that has only two doors, there can be only two ways to enter or leave the room. By these two doors, so by guarding these doors, you bar thieves from the room. Similarly, if you guard your three doors and do not give up any remembrance of them, you shut the door against committing misdeeds. There's a story about Geshe Benguin here. He safeguarded his mind and refused the card. He shouted, "I am a thief. We ought to be on." Want to stop here. His son says, "I'm a little tired, so we'll stop here." Now the dedication prayers begin. The dedication through reciting the Bodhicitta generation verse.
Yeah. Oh! Jebe Oh,